Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Kenya Millennial Podcast. I'm Wamboi, and today I have a guest for the first time in my recording history, which is pretty short, but it's a good one anyway. I have my friend Elias has joined me to record today's episode on gender wars, and we want to discuss why exactly the genders are fighting. Hi, Elias. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm very fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm good. So welcome for the welcome and congratulations on being the first guest on my podcast. It's funny though, but it's a good one.
So wow. Okay. I am the first guest. Okay, that's a first again.
Yes. Very, very fast. Yeah. So welcome. So for this topic, I felt like for me to even have a concrete conversation, I needed to have it with somebody. And thank you for accepting to come through. So now, because any day you hop on the internet, in this our God-given internet, you will find some sort of war between men and women. And my apologies, we just dived in. We're not going to do a lot there. So there are so many wars on why, maybe you're saying why men are wicked, why today women are wicked. Today, if it is not fear men, tomorrow it is fear women. There has to be something that's happening on the internet, in the world, where we say now we're fighting. There's no cohesion between genders anymore. I don't think, is it only on the internet, Omar? It's even in the real world. What do you think? Elias.
I'm hearing you and my screen is on. Is everything okay?
Now I can hear you, but I couldn't hear you before that. I don't know.
Now, let me set my screen. Give me a minute.
Okay.
I have to set my screen so that it doesn't go off at all. It's on charger.
All right.
Okay. So, I was saying that there's an issue now, especially for us now millennials. We have to discuss gender as we were taught, as we've experienced, and also now going in future. But then now, remember, we are still kind of old school, because us begins from sex, then our assigned sex plays into the gender roles, the genders we accept and perform, and then the roles. See?
Yeah.
Now, as for gender wars, I believe that they have always existed. Okay. Uh-huh. However, uh-huh, the dialogue was not as diverse as it is today.
Like the fighting. But don't you think the gender wars only started with colonization and with the set gender roles on what a woman is supposed to do, a man is supposed to do, like with the westernized version of the gender roles? Because like when before colonialism, did people fight over being a man or a woman? Or were you born and you're okay with that?
I actually think throughout humanity we have instances of both men and women going against the grain with respect to their gender. So, and the fact that most of these were viewed as pariahs means that there were conversations that were either held or not held, mm-hmm, which means that there must have been some friction, because human beings, we are still the same.
Or like the expectations. Just that now,
yes, they are always there. See, but now it's, I believe, for instance, as Africans, we had ways to go about such. So we had families which were even way larger to ensure that we mask a lot, and where one person is deficient, others prop in.
Yeah.
But now, post-colonialism is where the rise of individualism comes in. And so the things that were done collectively and enjoyed, now when they're being done individually, they seem more of a burden.
So because the gender conflict comes in, especially when now we put in marriage or relationship into context, into today's context. There's so much discourse going on why women and men and women are not the same, and why men and women do not like each other anymore. Because especially, did you see that thread on Twitter on when you start hating your girlfriend? Such things. Did you see
that? I have seen that. I've seen even when you start hating on your boyfriend, when you start loving your ex, they're there. It's good that people are having these conversations. I say it is good they're speaking themselves out, mm-hmm. but possibly in the wrong platforms or in the wrong spaces.
But I feel like there's so much hate. The fact that that thread garnered so much attention, I think it started in South Africa, right? Garnered so much attention worldwide, because apparently now it's a thing, like hating people, hating the opposite sex is a thing that is actually now applauded, because the way I saw those texts was being applauded, because now after that the women did their own, which now men countered it as they only did this because we did the other one. You get so, like, I don't feel like there's even a way we can say somebody is winning, but there's too much hate. And I don't understand why the hate came from, because at the end of the day, we have to coexist with each other in a very nice way. That is what I don't get. You know,
there is something. You see, I started with the breakdown of African life as we knew it.
Yeah.
Now, as Africans, now we are adopting a system of life that technically goes against what we are taught was African, because now, as a man, I must know how to cook, take care of my house, and do so many other things, which by my age, if it was, say, in the 1800s, mm-hmm. I'd have already had a wife. Even if I don't want to get one, the family will even organize and get me one and ensure that responsibility is shared across, such that those stereotypes that are there now mm-hmm. were normal life. See, so raising children was... So you find that raising children was communal. Okay, so you had love from all sectors and all players. Home responsibilities, uh-huh. individual investment wasn't such a big thing. Like, we were one, so we didn't have to feel the nakedness of individuality.
So now the business is because now, life is not what most people want it to be. You know, that's the problem.
And now, that is one of, you see, we say human beings are complex. So that is just one part of it. Then I'll add the economic aspect of things. You can't expect people who are struggling with finances, they're in debt, they can't make ends meet. You don't expect them to be the happiest lot, isn't it?
So they're going to take out their issues on other people, like on women or on men? Or how?
Yeah, a very good example is when COVID hit, what happened to GBV? Remember the spike in cases of GBV in Kenya? Intimate partner, yes, intimate partner violence went up so much. We had deaths. Women were killing their children. Men were killing their wives, girlfriends, and children. Left, right, center. That tells you we've been having a problem that has been brewing.
Also, so now the connection, like, you want to make is gender wars. Whatever is happening right now has a direct correlation to the economical status of everybody around us, right?
Yes, it does, because now we've, in the context of Africa, we have broken ourselves into, rather we've adopted a system which we are trying now to understand, mm-hmm. because whatever we were told by our parents, we're looking at it and we're like, no, this was not what you guys sold us. Yeah, that is one part of it.
Doesn't make any sense at the end of the day. Yeah.
Then now, another thing is we've praised violence for so long, as the Global South has praised violence so much, mm-hmm. that as millennials in particular, as millennials, we were raised on violence.
Oh, yeah. What? Yeah. Right. Yes.
Hey. We were raised on violence. Your parent, like, bet you blue, black. The teacher didn't spare you a thing. You know, everywhere you went, there was a form of violence that was really bad. And now, as adults, where do you think all this trauma will be directed at it. It will be back to our partners. It will be to our children once in a while. That's why we are consuming any and every drug that is known. So there is that other part where people are needing outlets, and it seems that their significant others are the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, sir. So do you think that one of the accelerators of gender conflict, maybe especially in Kenya, has been increased mostly because of the inclination towards feminism? Because you see, when you listen to people who, for me, I feel like they propagate a lot of hate towards the opposite sex. Like, you listen to these creators, the Red Pill Society, Akina Kibe, when they're talking about women and everything, because a lot of men listen to such creators. And I feel like they listen to that. He keep on saying that if you're not don't get with a feminist, don't date a feminist, don't do that. You see, all those things. Like, do not date a woman who's looking out for herself. You see? So do you think that maybe the conflict between genders right now has been accelerated by feminism, in your opinion?
Now, I grew up primarily under the care of women, from my grandmother to my aunt and my mother. Now, I have seen women struggle to make it. I have seen them struggle to just be in society. Okay?
Yeah.
So feminism is important for them. And the fact that over time, say, like people like my aunt and my mother were able to make a decent living and get their own professional accolades, that is a win for the feminism movement of the 60s, 70s, and also the Kenyan pioneers. Okay.
Uh-huh. Misandry is the hate of men, right?
Yes.
What's wrong? Yeah.
Yes, because what people have been fighting collectively is misogyny, and now we are having misandrists leading the charge for feminism.
Which now me usually feel like that is a toxic kind of feminism now. When you get there,
you see, remember that human beings exist in a spectrum, and either extreme is bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're supposed to have a little of both, you know, checks and balances. So when you find someone delves into hating men, unfortunately, without men, then society will collapse. I mean, as a biological function, what will happen? No births, no deaths. Actually, more deaths, no births. Yes.
Exactly.
Now,
Then
we are attacking people instead of maybe institutions, instead of ideas. So instead of having a conversation about what is wrong, we are saying who is wrong.
Yeah, like there's so much critique and it's like negative criticism with no like correction or maybe having like discourses on how to make things better. It's always somebody's doing something bad, then we take them down for that. Like, but not never a conversation on how can they be better? What can they do better for both sides now?
Sometimes when I'm having this discourse, I tell people, as a person who's been a student of the sciences, as we were in class, there were very many ladies in our class, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you found that very many of them did very well and still maintained their aspects of femininity, okay? Which wasn't a block. There were some who are maybe presenting more masculine features, more masculine traits, and still they were ladies who were decent, and they found men who they've worked their way with. See, they found their types of men.
Yeah.
So these are now, they're now empowered women, they are learned, they are earning, they're schooling, they've begun families, and they found men with whom they've chosen to share life and other aspects. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when someone comes and now berates such a lady, then it makes me wonder, are you diminishing her? Because I call her bright. I appreciate the fact that she's bright. Every man who was in our class and around her knows she's bright. She's accomplished. Mm-hmm. She's earning. She's a good mother. She's a good wife. She's a homemaker. So how do you berate someone who's chosen a certain lifestyle or pattern that works for her and works for billions more? How do you berate them?
I think because
and then
because
claim to champion for them.
Because when you're a woman, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. As a woman, if I sit down today and say that I want to be provided for by a man, they'll say, like, no man wants a broke person, no man wants a broke woman, evil. And then there's the other part where if you look like you can do things by yourself and you handle shit by yourself, you will be branded as you're intimidating and no man wants to deal with you. You see, at the end of the day, I feel like as a woman, the only thing you can do for yourself is live your life according to your standards. If that's what you want, if you want the type of life where you just want to sit down and be provided for, choose that. Because even with that, you're going to be judged. If you want a life where you're doing everything for yourself and a man has to look for ways to be a part of your life, do that. Because there is no way we are going to please people. That's where I'm assuming that one. Yeah.
There is something I tell people about being a millennial, especially late millennials. We have watched even earlier millennials become, you know, they've taken the tropes our parents ran on. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have watched the old, what is now like the old world, now the conservative, less technological era to now the modern one. And uh-huh. I tell people that now we found that the rules that worked in the 60s, 70s, 80s no longer apply in today's world. See?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The generations before us are no longer the custodians of information. It has been made publicly available, and you can cross-reference thousands and thousands of cultures, isn't it?
Yeah.
So then it's upon us to now create our own sets of values and principles. Because why are we dating today? Why are we marrying today? How should we go about it? Because kitambo, it was more of courtship. Today, we're just dating. Like, our form of dating today is, it's just like visiting restaurants, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Visiting a restaurant. Okay, I wouldn't call it
literally,
that. I wouldn't call it that.
I call it that because we have this idea of we have the main place we go, you know, you cook at home and you're fine. But then out there, you have like one or two favorites, and then all these other places you just go for occasional, you know, fries and chicken.
Yeah.
Number two, like, why do people settle? Gone is the era where there were more people who were poorer, and so it was for largely economic reasons, isn't it?
Because the operative word because when people say they're settling, they're getting married, they say they're settling down. The operative word being settling. So you settle.
Yes, that's the thing. Settling is just that settling does not indicate lack. As an English word, it does not indicate lack. It just indicates that it's like seizing movement, making permanence in a place.
Yes. So once you make permanence, but is you making that permanence in a place, is you choosing to settle somewhere only supposed to be driven by your economic status, or are there other factors do you think are supposed to play part in it?
The economic part is very important, because unfortunately we no longer go to the rainforest and just pick fruit.
Yeah, okay? It's actually the most important part. Not most, but then, it carries a lot of weight.
Yes, it does carry quite a lot of weight. But now, it's not the only reason. You see, like, those are the cogs that drive the house, because it needs to run, and you need money for that. But now the question is, what is the house? What, you know, say you have a car, but now, call it maybe the engine and maybe the wheels. That's not finances only. But then there's the rest of the car. There's the body, there's the dashboard, there's, you know, the controls, everything. So what now runs that? Because the old world wisdom says that a wise man is the one who loves the woman he marries, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Because they say an intelligent man marries the woman he loves. A wise man loves the woman he marries. Okay. That was the wisdom of the day, because the realities were different. Women were deemed less. They could not inherit. They didn't go to school. There's so many things that women have today that they didn't have back then. So now the woman of today has those things and can now also place a foot forward. So don't you think that we need to reset the rules?
Reset the rules now of being together or of dating, of getting with each other, of getting married, evil. But you see, yes. Now I keep on saying that. You see, everything in this world has changed. How we learn, how we even eat, how we get food, how we do everything in the world has changed. Except for one thing, how people get married and how people date. People still expect that thing to remain the same. And even you'll hear even people making the statement that the women of today are not the women that we want because they don't look, they are not the same as our moms, they're not the same as our grandmas and everything and such. You see, you'll hear such things from men. And you know even you've heard such things from men. But why is it that everything in life can change, including even how we work, how we make money, and how we do that? But there's no point I've ever had even somebody want to talk about how marriages and how coexist.
Grace? Grace, I can't hear you. Based on, because we come from the Agikwe community, do you realize that there were already rules that were set of assets that a man had to have before coming, even thinking of coming for you, isn't it?
For real? No, I didn't know.
The man should have had land. Remember, the dowry that will be paid for and so many of the social expectations, isn't it?
That would have saved a lot of people a lot of trouble. If I knew I was getting married to a man who's already fed, it would have saved a lot of trouble. So the patriarchy.
You see, the thing is, you need to understand, these things are not free. These things you expect the man to have are not free.
Oh, they're supposed to go out and get them for themselves.
Yes, like, which even in today's world, it's still the same thing. The man is expected to drive a car, earn 5 to 6 figures, have, I don't know what, 1,000,001 things. Mm-hmm. This lady will come into your life and in 2-3 years he's telling you about, you need to buy a parcel of land so that by 35 we start building because at 40 A, B, C, D, F, G, H. And then you get kids who, remember as the man, you must ensure that they're paid for. You know, it's a litany of lists, which notice,
mm-hmm.
they don't have the man.
They do not have them?
They don't have the man. They don't help the man.
Oh, so as in, you feel like they are supposed to do things, yet they don't get anything from these things that they are supposed to be doing, right?
The man is the one person in his own home,
uh-huh.
okay, who is not viewed with the dignity, basic dignity of a human being. He is, if you notice, he's supposed to go die, you know, like literally, when he's expected to die faster, he's not supposed to provide, protect, toil for the family, ensure everything is safe, okay. The woman is supposed to just largely nurture, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we put in her emotions, her mental well-being, her health, 1,000,001 things. So are the children. But now the man is treated more mechanically. And that has been one of our biggest problems. The man is a mechanical figure of production. Out in the industry and even at home, okay? So you're going to be having an instance where you've married a very good man, he's been kind to you, but now he has goals, dreams, which a lot of them he sometimes has to either work double to make sure they are through, because now the more successful he is, the less maybe the wife will be nagging, the kids will be provided for better. Remember, he is also judged by the woman he marries, how well maintained she is, the schools the kids go to, and so many other indices,
eh? Oh, yeah.
So this man is basically walking through life, giving, expending himself.
And then maybe his worth is being seen based on what he's able to do for other people.
Yes, and not as a reality of who he is, but it's what he is. What he is he's a provider today, tomorrow he's a protector. It's all, you know, like men are reduced, that's what I tell you, men are reduced to like machines of sorts.
Wow.
Okay. And now that is why, notice, more women attempt suicide, but more men die by suicide. Yes. Like when men go at it, I am done, gone.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay. Women's emotions and stresses have been, say, a source of discourse for actually centuries now. Okay.
Yeah, but I say,
even look at in history, mm-hmm. we record the ramblings, the rantings of women all through and through. You see?
But do men rant?
So you'll
do
find
men
that...
ramble through? Do men, are men vulnerable so that you can even be able to listen to them? Do even men have groups where they can go and say, this is what I'm going through, and this is what I'm going through, and this is the kind of help that I'd need? Do men even do that?
Men have those spaces, and unfortunately, women keep choking those spaces.
Okay, for example?
Men form brotherhoods, not just friendships. They form brotherhoods.
Okay.
Where you will find that this, they will have friends who have been with them sometimes more than their family combined, all the way to their last day. That's why boy groups exist. That's why you find, that's why bars are a place people keep meeting. It's because it's the one place men can sit and talk. And sometimes you just stare at each other and you look at a man and you're like, I understand. I've been there. This is the point of solace. Okay? And very many men keep breaking down in clubs and pubs. Sometimes even in, like, a man hugging another man, very many break down. Okay?
Do men hug? Do they want... I've seen very few...
Yes, they... Men hug, but not in public. A lot, most of them not in public.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever seen men... Have you ever seen men in clubs, bars, and other places where it's largely male, male spaces? Even barbershops, men hug. A good one, open, bear hug, see, mm-hmm. because those are their points of vulnerability. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. we demonize that. Then now we're switching to calling, you know, a man expressing emotion, we're calling it gay and so many other things. So technically, you're in view of like gender wars, mm-hmm. you have a charged man, a depressed man. He's angry. He's there's so many things going through his head. He's unfulfilled. He's unaccomplished. Then now. Mm-hmm. Bring back, you have a lady who is somewhat benefiting from him, okay? And remember, uh-huh. like for, say, our generation, since I think Kibaki came in, cumulatively we've been increasing the number of girls transitioning through the education system, isn't it?
Yeah. Which...
Now, there is something we never addressed, which was why males have always had the highest dropout rate since before independence.
Because they needed to? What do they need to do?
Because now, you see, the same way we did acknowledge that unfortunately due to our cultural and ethnic setup, mm-hmm. very many girls were missing out on education, which was a basic right.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We also did not address the fact that there are also social issues that are causing all these boys to mm-hmm. keep dropping out, because the majority of people who fail, who get D's, actually D minus and below, is always male.
Why are they failing though?
Yes. Now you see that question you're asking, why it has never been, you know, like you've never looked, it's never been looked into in depth, because you see, male and female need to coexist, like running, going forward, they need to coexist. So we need to make sure the woman is powerful, she's strong, she's able to run things. You know, every man wants a wife who, if the worst happens, mm-hmm. she can run the home.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But before we get to that worst scenario, how is it that, why don't we also make sure there are as many men who can manage the situation so that we have less risks too?
But who's driving? I feel like, you see, when it comes to like driving social and such issues, men do not take responsibility of taking care of the boy. That is what has happened for a very long time. You'll find that women are out there in the front line taking care of the girls, but men don't want to do that. You see, now,
let me ask you, who shames men for showing emotion more?
Of course, as in women.
Who shames men for showing or acting like they nurture? Okay.
But you see now, you for the longest time, even women have been under the spell, not the spell of men, under the judgment of men. There are things that a woman is not supposed to do, but they do it anyway. But you see now, we usually feel like we cannot keep blaming each other. All we can do is try and do better. we can try and do better. Because the blame game, it doesn't get anybody anywhere. So if it is boys who are supposed to be nurtured and they learn this is how you're supposed to be and this is what you do so that you can get here, then the men should take responsibility and do that. And
now,
do
you
not
see, here's
care about
thing.
Outside, like, outside noise.
Now, and you see, like, now, when it comes, why I pointed out education is because it is, this is something the government has, the government and other players have a very strong hand in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if we decided that instead of what I call nonsense of wanting a university in every county in Kenya, we increase technical and vocational institutions, so which will cater to the very many people who may not be, they may be average or below average, but they have skills, isn't it?
Yeah.
We create an environment where this young men can drop out, and if whether they decide to go in the informal sector, they can work and earn a decent wage, so that we don't have a group of people who are suffering with basics of life, self-esteem issues, and then now these are the people who are supposed to marry our sisters. That is a ticking time bomb.
No, that is not even going to work, because you'll find that that's why women are not choosing them as mates anyway.
And then the women who settle for them are also not your everyday type of woman, you see. And these guys will continue and they will, what would I say? They become crooks, street smart. We praise, yes?
Yes.
So it's like, these men, they're the ones now we praise for becoming so-called innovative, street smart. They run the streets, they have it, you know. You see these stories they give that, you know what, you know, I didn't go to school, but look at me, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire. That is not healthy, because the journey this person has had, possibly had so many sacrifices. There are very many people who may have paid the price.
Yeah.
And so if the human casualty rate for this person rising to where they are sometimes is very bad. It's dangerous. So when we have too many of them, it's bad. Now imagine you have very many people who failed. They have their role models are the worst in society. Then now you find incels, and I call them incels with
so
intimate knowledge of such individuals.
Yeah. And
so now you find incels. So you find incels become their coaches. These are people shame Kibe. Yes. Kibe, I view him as a broken clock. You know, it's right twice a day. So some points he makes make sense, but how he delivers is a problem for me. Okay. And the problem is that there is an actual problem in society that we are witnessing through, say, in this case, males. But now, how do we voice it? So you'll find that Andrew Tate will come in and tell them, you know, you shouldn't be told, a woman should not tell you, you know, you're the man, you're the prize, you're the everything. But here's the thing, you can't be the prize when you're not making enough money. You can't be the prize when you're sleeping hungry. You can't be the prize when you don't have 1,001 things. You want to reproduce, but in today's system, you don't have land, you know, factors of production, you don't have any. So what happens? How are you any prize? You're just male. You're male. That's a factor of biology. Life continued itself, and voila, you are here.
As in being male, it doesn't mean that you're any special. There are men who think that just because they're men, they're very special to everybody. And it's
X, 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 Y. I mean, that is Form 2 biology, I think?
Yeah. Form 2, was it genetics?
So there is
Form 3.
From 3 or from 4. Three or from 4. So now you find there is nothing special about it. So now there is a problem in that we have, over the years, been, like in Kenya, we've been churning out millions and millions of men with less and less privileges, opportunities, even respect, basic respect and dignity in society. Okay? And some of these men make it. And when they make it, very few of them remember to be human, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the values they'll perpetuate out there will attract a crowd of people who will view themselves more as the prize. It will be like a cancerous form of narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, it has a lot of anger with it. And these people will hurt women because now for them, I made it here. You are nothing to me. I built myself, you know. So the woman just becomes one of his success stories, you know, like a trophy.
And maybe some sort of a conquest, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. I tell people, have you ever noticed that guys who come from families that were largely well-to-do, very stable, and they may have had one or both parents, and they didn't struggle much, and the guy or the chick went to a really good school in a fairly good environment. You know, this even say in 844, but those very expensive academies, or even the British curriculum. Have you ever noticed how easygoing those people are when it comes to dating?
Oh, that's true. They're easier to deal with.
They are less. Yeah, it's so easy to deal with, and they just, it's like they just wing it. They go with the flow, like, I love this guy, I love this chick, and they're just out there living life, vibing, having fun. They even marry as a joke. People will even meet, marry after a year, or even date 5 years, still marry. Now, what is it about these people's lives that the rest of us lack that makes us so angry and seemingly frustrated? We take it out on each other. Because I tell people, I think we are compensating for something.
We have to. In this life, what I've learned is if there was a vacuum in your life, you will look for other things to fill it up. Sometimes you're not even aware of it when it's happening. You just do it. And the only way we have to ensure that we are, if not anything else, is be very self-aware. But you cannot go like dumping your trauma on everybody around you.
That now, based on that, now imagine someone with multiple traumas. You know, pictures. Say a lady, and she's like a war veteran. She has a missing limb, one eye is busted, she lost two fingers, and so many other. She has scars all over her, and then now she comes and becomes the pioneer, or she becomes the lead or the champion for say women's rights. Okay, but instead of preaching peace because she has seen war, she decides to preach. She decides to say. Avenge her experience, her life experience.
Oh, yeah.
Because that becomes the issue, that we have women who've been hurt by their fathers, by their brothers, by their uncles. We do know that most of rape comes from someone the person is familiar with. So it starts at home. It's your father, your brother, it's the garden boy, it's your cousin. It's the pastor, it's the bodaga you use.
Bitterness. They'll have a lot of bitterness.
Yes.
And it doesn't come out so well, even when you're dealing with other people in the world. That's it, guys, for today's episode. It has been a long one. It has been very eye-opening for me having such conversation. But anyway, that's the point. We have this podcast to have very thought-provoking conversations and see if you can look at things from another point of view. Also, thank you, Elias, for coming through. And I hope you will be on the podcast more often. Right.
Well, thank you for having me over. It's been good to share actually perspectives from a male point of view. Yeah. And yes, I promise I'll be back.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Now, Elias, I don't know what I did. I will let it this one. I don't know what I did. Now I can't stop Nini. Like, I can't stop my recording. Can you stop it on your end?
Yes, I can. If you trust me, I think I can.
Yes, end it from your end so that now I can be...
Okay, oh, no, oh, sorry, mine says leave recording.
I believe
I leave the recording.
I believe, I see. Because I don't...